Good morning to each one this morning. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning. We are so grateful for who you are to us. Thank you for the assembling of your people together. And Lord, I pray that you would use each one of us today to be an encouragement to each one. And Lord, I pray that you would be with me as well as the others that are sharing as a mouthpiece of you today. Lord, we invite you here. We invite your spirit to be with us, and we know that you are here. Lord, I pray that you would just be here with us during this service. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I was thinking a lot recently about a topic that might be a little bit different for each one of us this morning. It's not a topic that is, we hear a lot about it, but it's not necessarily a topic that is shared on a lot. That has to do with idols. And I know we're all probably sitting here like idols. We don't have stone gods in our houses. We don't have those things. But idols are more than just merely a chunk of wood overlaid with some sort of metal. It's more than that. It's a mentality. Or it can be a mentality. Years ago, there was a leader, and he decided that he wants everyone to know who he is. So he created an idol, and we know that idol today to be Buddha. And one of the things that he said is, through rituals in the temple, that idol becomes a living piece of flesh, even though it is simply just a piece of wood. And the more that they bless that piece of wood, the more life that that piece of wood could give them. And we know today that idol is still very prevalent in today's world. It may not be Buddha for everyone, but it doesn't really matter what religion we look to. Everybody has idols. Do we believe that idols are one of those things that is always living? No. Definitely not. We would never say that. But if I could write up here on the board, all of the idols that we face today, work, money, we could probably fill the board up this morning. But we're not going to do that. I want to look at a simple command in the scripture. And that's going to be found in Exodus. Chapter 20, it says in verse 3, actually I'm going to just read from verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And as I was pondering that, and we could go on and it would give us more instruction there, but as I was pondering those few verses, the first thing that comes to my mind is God demands loyalty. God demands that we do not worship anything else. God wants all of our worship to go to Him. God will not tolerate any other gods besides Him. And I know that that might sound selfish to us as mere humans, but that is how God designed it to be. God designed it that we will worship our Creator. I think of another verse in 1 John that says, keep yourselves from idols. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, flee from idolatry. I want to read a small section here in Psalm. And I'm going to read out of Psalm 115. And I'm going to read starting in verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. It sounds like those that trust in idols are dead. I'm so glad that we can serve a God that is living today. In Galatians chapter 5, I noticed that idolatry is listed there as the works of the flesh. And this would be idolatry, not having an idol in our house, but idolatry, anything that we place in our lives that is higher than what we should, than what we would place God. I want to also read a portion in Matthew. And I would like to just read that and then make a few points yet after that. I would like to read Matthew chapter 15 and read the first 14 verses there. The first 20 verses. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. I think I'm going to leave it at that with with Matthew chapter 15, but just a few things that I have thought about. Our heritage is a very good thing, and I uphold our heritage very much. But if I uphold our heritage so much that it gets in between me and God, it's an idol to me. And as I was thinking about that, we could say the same thing about traditions. Traditions becomes an idol when established customs, rituals, or practices are elevated above God's word, replacing active faith in God with adherence. I don't know if you all caught all of what was said there, but tradition becomes an idol when established customs, rituals, or practices are elevated above God's word, replacing active faith with adherence. And it also acts as an idol when it prioritizes comfort, familiarity, or reputation above truth. When we hold our reputation or our comfort above truth and what the Word of God says, it is an active idol that we need to get rid of. I would like to just very quickly go through a few points here in Matthew 15, some things that I have gleaned from these few verses here. It's an idol when we replace divine authority, when we place the way that we do things above the Scripture or equal to the Scripture. It's an idol. When we prioritize ritual over relationship with God, it is very, very detrimental to our spiritual life. When we trust in our heritage to save us, it's an idol. It creates a false sense of security. It hinders change. The Pharisees and Sadducees here, they didn't want to change. Our tradition is good enough. It creates a false sense of security. And by hindering change, we become resistant to change. And the last one that I have on this chapter, or on these verses here, is self-identity. What is our identity? Do we allow our culture to be our identity? And if we are, that is a form of an idol. Allowing our culture to be our identity instead of having our identity in God, who created us, who says that we're not supposed to have idols in our life. And now our identity becomes our self-identity, or our culture becomes our identity. And we should be placing our identity in God and in Christ, and allowing God to work through us to create a positive impact in the world around us. Tradition becomes an idol, or you can put whatever in there. Tradition, culture becomes an idol when it demands loyalty, it takes time and energy more than God. If we spend a lot of our time looking at, oh, I better make sure that my life is right, which I think that we need to do that, but if it consumes more of our time than time spent with God and allowing God to change us into His image, I think that we're doing something wrong. And with all of that, the latter parts of John, I've read them already in 1 John chapter 5. It says, he concludes this letter with, I'm just going to read a little bit here in closing. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And the very last verse that he says is, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And I want to just let that with you here today. I hope that as we live throughout this next week, that we can take these things to heart, and that we would not allow our tradition, our culture, or anything that applies to our lives to take the place, or that we would hold it higher than what God ordained of us. And with that, I will say that tradition can be an idol. Our culture can be an idol. Where is our identity in Christ? And so I was greatly challenged by those few verses in the scripture. With that, let's close with prayer. Lord, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for a new morning. And we trust that if we do have idols in our lives, that we would get rid of them, and that our identity would be in you. And Lord, I pray that we would truly worship and serve you to our fullest ability. Thank you, Lord, for today. Pray that you would be with the rest of the service, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.